Not many opportunities like this that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
And welcome to The Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. My name is Rick Butler, joined to my left by the one and only Brandon Orrick, joined to my right.
I think there's another one out there, so not the only
one. Oh, really?
I think.
Have you checked Facebook? Typically a pretty good place.
Well,
I'm on Facebook right now. Let me take 5 seconds.
I think there's... There was one that went to UT because whenever I was...
Did you know that you have two Facebook accounts?
Yeah, I got locked out of one. So I was like, ah, screw it.
There are two other Brandon Orrick's. One is a landscape designer. The other is a carpenter.
Yeah, see, I'm not the one.
One of these Brandon Orrick's, you could totally beat up. The other Brandon Orrick, I think he would smash you into a pulp.
Oh, thanks.
Well, just in case you wanted to get into a Brandon Orrick fight.
There can only be one.
You know?
There can only be one.
There is. There is only one, and certainly only, of the man to my right, Weston Brown, who I think we find out a little more about every single day.
Every single day.
And I love it.
It's like peeling back a layer of the onion. Yeah. Just
a little
coming.
Bit at a time, and it reveals the whole picture. Weston, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Doing really good.
Did you have a good weekend?
Good weekend.
Why didn't you come with us on Saturday? We're at Elkmont. There was a ton of people. Me and Brandon were there. The whole crew.
Well,
come on.
If I would have, I kind of forgot. I knew you guys were doing like the show or whatever, but I forgot that like you guys were doing a watch at Elkmont. But
that's all right. That's all right. I only remembered because two out of two of my roommates were also going, so I couldn't have really missed it. But hey, we had a great time at Elkmont Exchange watching the game. You know, and it really was. It was kind of like what we said it was. You know, Tennessee, Alabama is always going to be what it is. So. You might as well try to find a bunch of great people to work with you, and that's what happened. But, man, are we ready?
Might as well be. I mean, you might as well just get right into it.
Peel the Band-Aid off as quickly as possible?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really not that upset. I mean, all in all, I think Tennessee played extremely well on Saturday, given the circumstances. Now, I'll go ahead and I'll – get this out of the way up front. I think that if Tua stays in the game, then they probably proceed to kick the dog snot out of us like we all thought they would.
Well, yeah.
But he goes down. But Tennessee was kind of hanging in it before that.
And Tennessee played a good game, right? Like, there were... And I don't want to jump around, right? Like, I do want to take this game very kind of methodical in how we break it down, because this is probably going to be our biggest breakdown of the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, this was a game that we thought Tennessee was going to get absolutely slaughtered, and it turns out it may be, I mean, we may have the most to say about this game as any other game so far this season.
Yeah, I think so as well. And you know what? Like, it's hard to say if you didn't really hold him in check, right? But, and I'm talking about Tua here, right? But even though, you know, you weren't really holding him in check, he was still doing a lot of what he wanted to do. You got an interception at the beginning of the game. That was big, right? He can throw for a lot of yards, but, you know, at the end of the day, you did force him to make a turnover. And eventually he does go down with the injury, and Tennessee is still right there in the game. You know, like Tennessee had a great advantage, even though we had also lost our quarterback. So that was the tricky part of the game. But you're right. We're gonna continue to talk about this all day long. And there's a lot of different aspects of the game that we'll talk about. Real quick, if you would like to join the show at any point today, you can give us a call, 865-546-8200. We'll let you get in. We'll get you in as quickly as possible. Let you get in your thoughts on Tennessee, Alabama, and whatever route you want to go with. But let's go back to Saturday night. Started at 9 o'clock p.m., which in itself was a mess.
I hate it. I mean, we got done with our pregame show at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we had 7 hours.
I went home. I watched a lot of college football. I took a nap. We made a huge dinner. And then we still had time to relax before the game.
I mean, I did not like it.
Well, here's what I'll say. Like, I liked having the whole day, right? Like, that was fine, right? If there was anything I needed to do, I could have got it done. But what I hated was still watching Tennessee football at, like, 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
That was the tough part for me.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, heartbreak and tough to handle, but I feel like we're used to it as a fan base. So,
well, that's kind of the thing for me. But so Saturday night in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, 35-13 is your final score. But don't get it twisted, right? Like it was closer than that a lot longer of the game than I think that implies that it was. So Alabama gets the first score. Let's see. Alabama gets the first score. They make it 7-0. Then Tennessee matches, makes it 7-7.
Well, that's when we picked two off. So they were about to score again,
right? Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Because I think, did we turn it over?
Yes. We threw an interception after just three plays.
And then they're about to score again.
Right. They run five plays, get 36 yards.
Tua scrambles, throws the interception in the end zone. Nigel Warrior, or is that who it was?
Yes.
Nigel Warrior runs it back to about midfield, a little past, I think. And then Maurer leads you down, and you tie the game back up.
Yeah, he had a 60-yard return to the Alabama 41. So Tennessee marches 41 yards in six plays, scores a touchdown. That was the touchdown. That was the one that Maurer ran, right?
Yes, QB sneak.
Yeah, so Maurer had the QB sneak for the touchdown, which keep that in mind. You know, you already know what happened, but keep it in mind if you didn't. Alabama goes down, scores a touchdown, 14-7. Tennessee gets a field goal. Alabama gets a touchdown. So now we're at 21-10 with about 9 minutes left in the first half. Punt, 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 end of downs. That's how the first half ends. And that was Tennessee punt, Alabama punt, Tennessee punt, Alabama down.
And Tua had gotten hurt at that point already, right?
Yes, I believe he got hurt in the drive that they punted, but I'm not entirely positive. That would be around 5 minutes left. Then the second half happens, and you have Tennessee get on the board first after, you know, Alabama gets the ball first.
Well, I mean, Alabama,
they only get 4 yards on their first three plays.
Yeah, I mean, after Tua goes out, Alabama's offense goes completely stagnant.
And I think that's where you could tell from Tennessee fans, hey, there's really something cooking here.
And I think not only from Tennessee fans, but the players and the coaches, when Tua went out, they knew, okay, this guy can't play. Who, Mac, whatever his name is. What's his name?
Jones?
Matt Jones.
The quarterback?
Yeah.
Matt Jones, M-A-T, I believe.
Is it Matt?
I think it's Matt.
No, whatever it is. I'm going to call him Mac.
Okay.
Matt Jones.
It is Mac. You're right.
Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac.
He sucks. He's terrible.
Trash.
And Tennessee knew that. So they kind of pinned their ears back, and they couldn't do anything. They could not do anything offensively. And then you kind of fast forward to the play, right? And officiating had been a little suspect all night. And let me go ahead and say this, and I think I speak for everybody in the room, and I think I speak for most Tennessee fans. I do not want to be blame the ref guy. I don't.
Yeah.
I really don't like blame the ref guy.
It's because, you know, somebody can easily go to you and be like, hey, do you not think that every team feels like they get screwed with penalties? But in this case, I could not agree with you more.
This game, it was blatantly obvious that something was up. I mean, you look at all those plays or all the flags in the game. Tennessee had more flags. I mean, we came into that game the least penalized team in the SEC.
Yeah.
Least penalized team in the SEC. I don't think that changes in one game. And then you have the we're down on the goal line where we ended up having to kick a field goal. We're down near the goal line, and we're running a trick play. We got Juwan Jennings at quarterback.
Yeah.
And then the referees just blow the play dead for no reason. They blow the play dead for no reason at all. I don't even think you get an explanation. So they blow it dead, gives Alabama basically a free timeout. They're talking about the play. We roll out there again. We're about to run the same play with Juwan Jennings at quarterback. And then we get a false start penalty, which, okay, that's fine. But there was no reason that play should have been blown dead. You can't convince me otherwise. But then you fast forward to the play again, when we're on defense, it's third down, third and long, obvious passing down, and Daryl Taylor comes around the middle, hits Mac Jones, whatever the hell his name is. I don't even care.
You nailed it. It is Mac. Like the truck.
Hits him as he's throwing, incomplete pass, and as he's getting up, barely pushes. He pushes himself up. It's not even forceful. It's not even forceful.
No, it's more like you're trying to gain your balance as you're getting up.
And you can make the case, oh, he should not put himself in the situation to get that flag thrown. Spare me.
Yeah.
He did not do anything wrong. He was, and Alabama gets bailed out by the refs. They go down and score to make it 28-13 at that point.
Yeah, in the unnecessary roughness part of that was mind-boggling. Like, to me, at best, it could have been an unsportsmanlike conduct, right? Because you're kind of walking over a player. I'm going to be honest. To me, the first thing that I thought of was, you know, all right, he kind of did. He kind of did walk over him a little bit. And it maybe even a little bit of a, you know, it's whatever the, you know, the Call of Duty players do, right? When you take someone's head off with a snipe, right?
B button.
Yeah, when you're tapping the B button a lot. And I even tweeted that out. To me, I was like, I kind of thought that's what it was.
I don't even
But
think
even
that.
At best, right, that's an unsportsmanlike conduct, right, because it's that just the sense of it being an unnecessary roughness. And ultimately, you're right. The fact that anything was even called
and
was,
just,
kind,
and,
of ridic- and was kind of ridiculous.
The total hypocrisy on the flips. You go back to when Maurer gets knocked out of the game. And he's hit 2 to 3 seconds after he lets go of the ball.
Oh, my God, yeah.
That's a little bit of an exaggeration as far as 2 to 3. But he's clearly let go of the ball. The receiver's almost caught it. And the Alabama defender comes up, hits him. It's not targeting, but it is a late hit. It's a late hit, and then Maurer falls down, hits his head on the back of Darnell Wright's knee, and then he's concussed and goes out of the game.
Yeah.
Clearly a late hit.
And there was so much to go on both sides of the ball, right? And yes, oh yeah, I got it locked and loaded. The conspiracy theory, you know, that SEC wants the 1-2, and there's nothing that can change that. And that's certainly, you know, if you want to believe that with me, you certainly can. But also, like, at the end of the day, though, there was just such a discrepancy in how things were called. And that's the annoying part about watching the game, right? Watching the game as a fan. Because ultimately, do either of you two think that either of you have a good grasp on the rules of football in the NFL and college?
No. No, especially the NFL. Did you see the end of the Titans-Chargers game yesterday?
Oh, yeah. But, like, that's pretty sad, right? And I think it's certainly not just the three of us. I think we could step outside to the three and out guys right now and ask them the same question. Does anybody think that they have a great grasp on officiating for the sport of football in 2019? And I can't imagine any of them say yes. Because officials in every game, in every sport, all these rules are so different to every single one of them. And it is mind-boggling to me that we cannot just watch a football game and expect consistency from week to week. Because there's no such thing as consistency when for six straight weeks, you are the least penalized team in the SEC, and then out of nowhere, every time you sneeze is a roughing the passer, is an unsportsmanlike conduct, is a unnecessary roughness, is a holding, is a pass interference. It's so frustrating to watch. And I don't even know if we would have won at the game, maybe had the officiating been a little different. But the fact that we even have to question that is a disaster.
I mean, the unnecessary roughness, Alabama went down and scored, made it 28-13 at that point. And then Tennessee goes, the next play drives down, and that's when we get to the JG sneak, and we'll get into that a little bit more. We need to take a break. 865-546-8200. You got some busy phone lines. We'll
lots
take
of calls on the other
take
side.
Take a break. When on the other side, we'll get your phone calls on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline. You listen to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
All right, back on The Blitz, 10:22 a.m. Let's check over with the Nextdoor Home Group hotline, which you can call by dialing the number and hitting call. 865-546-8200. Good morning, Phil. How you doing?
What do you say, Fabulous Rick Butler?
Just another Monday, right?
Yeah. Well, how's Brandon and Weston doing?
Doing pretty good, Phil. Can't complain.
What's chance to celebrate Green Bay's win yesterday?
I have no doubt about it.
He said he was feeling a little under the weather this morning, Phil.
Kind of contagious down at that station, isn't it?
That seems to be.
I'll tell you what, something's been going around.
Well, I want to shout out to Sweet Willie in Jefferson County. Maybe he'll call in and entertain us a little bit this morning.
Spoiler alert.
Maybe.
Guys, all honesty, I mean, we played gallantly Saturday night and looked good, you know, against Alabama for the first time in, I guess, 2015.
Yep.
We actually played with them. But the bottom line, we lost the game because Jeremy Pruitt hasn't recruited a good quarterback yet.
Yeah, I mean, the case can be made for that. I mean, I do think, though, if Maurer stays in, I think you got a pretty good chance, Phil. But,
well, I do agree with you on that. But
you don't have depth. That's the thing. You don't have anybody after him.
He's injury prone. I mean, look how Alabama looked when Tua's down. So
yeah.
I hope Tua's out through the LSU game. It'd be beautiful to see him go down to flames with the LSU Tigers.
Yeah, supposedly he's supposed to be back for that game, but there's no way he's going to be 100%. There's no way he's going to be able to run around the way he does.
Well, this refereeing is very – it's not just that game last Saturday. I mean, on the college and pro level, the officiating is awful.
Yeah, man, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can never just watch a football game and expect the rules to be the same as the last football game you watched, because they're not. The officials take these things so much into their own opinion, and, you know, one guy might call unnecessary roughness, the other guy might say no flag, another guy might say pass interference out of nowhere, and we as the fans have literally no idea what to think.
Well, you know, they got the FC also down there in Birmingham, so I guess they flash their thing down there, and then Saban probably hits a button on the sideline. You know, I still can't understand why there wasn't unnecessary roughness on that when Maurer got injured on that cheap shot.
Yeah, I mean, Maurer's let go of the ball at least a second to a second and a half, and it's almost to the receiver, and that guy comes up. And like I said, it wasn't targeting, but it was definitely a late hit.
Yeah, it should have been, a roughing the passer. Did they call anything on that play at all?
No call.
Yeah, nothing.
Says it all, don't it?
Absolutely nothing.
But, guys, is Jerry Guerin calling the transfer portal yet?
Not that I've heard of, but
mentally, probably.
I would not be surprised if we hear that news. I mean, I think, and we've not even got to that play yet, because I feel like that was kind of the penultimate moment of the game, and everything kind of hinges on that.
Are you surprised? I wouldn't have been surprised.
No, I mean,
he's been a loser since he's been here.
No, I'm not surprised, but I would not be surprised. What I was going to say, I would not be surprised if he's announces that he's transferring by the end of the week.
I can't believe that coaching staff's so damn dumb. They've let that guy play quarterback for 2 years.
Yeah, it is mind-boggling. And then you think back to remember the offseason. Remember the quote, Phil, that if you've been around the program for the last 6 months, you know who the best quarterback is?
Yeah, I know. It's mind-boggling to me. I don't know. But I guess I'll get off here and get somebody else on, like a good Josh, because when Kingsport Dawes Bennett comes down to Alcoa, they're going to get their britches pulled off. See you.
That was a good one today.
Phil trying to bait Josh into a call.
That was a good one. Do we have another call?
No, not right now.
Okay.
865-546-8200.
Brandon, I think that let's not bury the lead any longer. Let's talk about what was
the play.
Yeah. So Brian Maurer gets hurt. Insert one Jarrett Garantano.
But see, here's the thing. And he goes in and he even leads you down the field and you score.
I know.
You score a touchdown.
I know.
And I thought he came in just like last week against Mississippi State, and I thought he played okay.
Yeah, you know what? When he went in, I wasn't even freaking out. By no means.
No, I mean he did his job as the backup. He came in, he looked good. I mean, he still has his problems where he likes to hold on to the ball, and that one spin move that took like 3 seconds. I mean, that was the slowest spin move I have ever seen in my life.
But it was awesome.
But it worked, and it gains you a couple yards. And like I said, you go down and you score, and you're right in the game. He did his job. But then you go down, you go all the way down the field. You're on the 1 yard line, and you ran the ball a couple times, and you just could not punch it in. Fourth and inches, and he calls his own number. He changes the play, and the rest is history.
All right.
He jumps straight up in the air.
Yeah, hey, you can only jump over the pile if you're like Cam Newton, right? Cam Newton's just a freak of nature. I'm sorry, but Jarrett Garantano should not be trying to jump over into the Alabama offensive line. But, okay, let's figure this out. Right, because I posted on Twitter late Saturday night exactly what, you know, pretty much Jeremy Pruitt said. And Jeremy Pruitt went into his press conference, and he basically said that, hey, it was called a sneak because they had been running the sneak multiple times in the game already, but he just didn't know why Garantano had jumped over the line.
That's a cover-up. There's no way you can convince me that was a quarterback sneak.
And so that's what many of people were telling me during this.
And as it happened after Pruitt said that, I was like, okay, maybe it was. I go back and watch the play. There's no way. There's no way it was a sneak. No way. Trey Smith pulls. He pulls and goes and blocks. Quaveris Crouch would have went into the end zone untouched. You cannot convince me otherwise.
A guard never pulls on a sneak.
You seen the play? Did you go back and watch from the overhead view?
Yes.
It's not even close.
You don't think maybe Trey was trying to take out the guy coming from, you know, around to pull him back?
No.
Because there is a guy who's supposed to do that.
No. I think Pruitt was covering up for Garantano in his post-game presser. And I think everybody was trying to read Pruitt's lips whenever, after the play's over and Garantano's
running
to the sideline.
Yeah, there were about 50 different things that people were saying he said.
And I think he said, "Who told you to sneak? Who told you to sneak? Not who taught you." I think he said, "Who told you?" I think it's obviously a run play. I think they're running the same play again to Crouch. Let's go to the phones. Let's not Let's get Josh in here. What's up, Josh?
The bait worked.
Hi, Brandon. Rick, what's going on?
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Josh?
First off, let me tell Bama Phil, he just picked every winning high school team in Knoxville area. You know, we're not scared up here in Northeast Tennessee. You know, we'll show up. So,
DB.
You know, I don't know if he'll be at Maryville that night, Knox Catholic, Alcoa, whoever's winning the most. I guess that's where he'll be. But, I know, you know, we'll be there. Hey, about that ball game?
Yeah.
We just got Alabama ripped job, man. We just got completely ripped off. And honestly, I don't want to hear about no damn concussions from my head coach. I don't want my head coach saying the word concussion no more. That's retarded.
What do you mean? Ahead, like, what do you mean you don't want Pruitt to talk about the concussions? For one reason,
I mean, if a kid has aspirations to go to the NFL, that's not something you're going to put out there. Another reason is, you think Jerry Jeudy didn't have a concussion? I mean, his damn arms went straight. He got knocked clean out.
On the was that the Petulli hit?
Yeah, he got
on the goal line.
Out,
yeah,
he went and played. I mean, football's a damn gladiator sport. Whether these soft ass media members or this millennial generation wants to admit it, I mean, I don't want to hear nothing about damn concussion. We need my playing. Get his ass on the field. He wanted to go back in the other night. I would put him out there. Hell with it. He wants to play, let him play.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you can't deny the stuff with the CTE and all that, but I mean,
guy that's killed himself or went out and done this stuff that they just keep talking about. I mean,
no. I'm with you, Josh. I mean, if he wants to go out there and play, I mean, it may be an unpopular. I mean, if I don't know, I kind of go back and forth on the issue, though.
I played football for all my life, man. The word concussion was never even brought up. I mean, it was nothing. You got your bell rung, you got up, and you went back in the ball game when you head cleared up. I mean, I know it's real, but I mean, where's the results of all these, you know, where's all these ex-Tennessee players that screwed up because of this?
Well, I don't know about Tennessee players in specifically, but I mean, you got Junior Seau and guys like that, but I mean,
they played 15 years in the NFL, man. I mean, that's a whole nother animal.
Yeah.
I mean, put your damn quarterback in the game.
I mean,
you had a chance to beat Alabama, and I mean, what the hell? Put him in.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, Josh, that I do think that at a certain point, I think it goes out of Jeremy Pruitt's hands when it comes to that. I do think that that's...
It goes out of his hands, but I don't guess it goes out of Nick Saban's hands. That's a garbage argument, Brandon. You know it as well as I do. And I heard Buck Fitzgerald talking about this concussion deal. It's a bunch of nonsense. Not saying that CTE's not real. It is. But, listen, this is a gladiator sport. These kids put their life on the line every time they get on the field. Look at Ron Shazier. You think these kids don't know what can happen?
Yeah. I mean, I think they understand the risks.
And it's their opportunity to show what they can do, to make money and cash in on it. It's their choice, not some stupid media member, national media guy, or even local guys talking about shutting the guy down for the year. Do you even want to win? It's stupid.
Man, I'm not shutting him down for the year. I hope he's able to come back next week, because if not, I think we're in a world of hurt. I think next week's a very winnable game. With Maurer at quarterback, but I think you're not looking too good if you got to go with Shrout, because I mean I think Garantano's played his last snap.
I hope so, man. That kid, I mean, all due respect, but he's worse. You know, He's a loser, just plain and simple, on the football field. Maybe not in life, but you're going to lose if he plays quarterback. There's no way I'd roll him out there. I hope they do not play that kid anymore. I hope that's the last time I have to watch him. Because
it's frustrating.
I can't take much of it. Absolutely.
It's frustrating to watch, no doubt.
Well, anyway, I didn't mean to get all wound up this morning, but Phil got me going, so blame him. Anyway, see you guys.
Appreciate the call, Josh.
Thank you.
865-546-8200 is our number if you want to get on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline with us. Give us your thoughts on the Tennessee-Alabama game. We'll get into the Jarrett Garantano fumble in the end zone. We'll dive into that a little bit more on the other side. Take a quick break. You listen to the Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
Back here on the Blitz, 10:40 a.m., not 11:40. It is 10:40, so we're wrapping up the first hour here. And look, I took a second to listen to Josh, to really think about what Josh said, because Josh is one of our best callers. He's on the Mount Rushmore. We're all good friends, but sometimes we all can respectfully disagree. And I think that I disagree with a lot of what Josh said. And I don't know if this is a millennial thing, right, in terms of concussions and head injuries. I think this is a scientific thing, right? We're in 2019. I think that every single Tennessee fan watching that game desperately wanted Maurer to be out there. I don't think anybody was like, all right, JG, let's ride, I don't think that's the happen. But we are in an era now, regardless if you want to stay in the 80s or not, right, when all those football players were just crushing each other to death. If you want to stay in the 80s and if you want that to be your football, then there's a lot of highlight videos and old tapes that you can find. But you have to realize that we are in 2019 and we play by 2019 standards in terms of head injuries. And I do believe that that's exactly where we should be. All right? This is something that everybody deals with. This is something that's not just a media thing either. I mean, we even talked about it over the summer. The amount of high school football players are drastically decreasing each year. It's still the most popular, but it's drastically decreasing. And I think there's a lot of people in the country right now. I think there's a big movement when there's 100,000 less people playing football in high school every single year. When you have to take these kind of conversations seriously. And I feel for the Tennessee team because I want Maurer to be out there, but I'm going to absolutely look at it and say, hey, that's two concussions in back-to-back weeks. You got to take care of that kid. And I want Tennessee to win. And I desperately want Brian Maurer to play. And if I could give Brian Maurer my head to play, and if I could take his two concussion head and just be completely messed up the rest of the football season and just slurring my words all on live radio every day,
no.
I would. I'd give Brian Maurer my head.
No, I need you to be.
He doesn't want my head because my head is dumb and idiotic, but I would, right? That's the point. But I just think that, man, this is not the 1980s anymore. And a lot of those guys are suffering right now, 30 years later, because of the things that are happening in their head. There's no such thing as taking a guy who just suffered his second concussion in back-to-back weeks and putting him back on the field. I don't know if Jerry Jeudy had a concussion. Hell, he might have, right? We all know that they use witch potion inside of the Alabama tents to get their players back on the field.
Yeah, some sort of voodoo.
But I have no issue with Brian Maurer not going back on because he was concussed. Well, it is 2019. That is the era of football. That is what science has told us. We didn't have that technology back then in the 80s. We didn't know. So yeah, they could slam each other's head with a sledgehammer and nobody would care. Now you're going to take it more seriously.
I think it might be a little different had he not suffered the concussion last week.
Totally agree.
Could he have came back in this week's game if he had not gotten the concussion last week against Mississippi State? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, but like you said, Rick, in today's game, you with concussions and as seriously as they're taken, and you can't. You risk it from a PR standpoint. And like I said to Josh, I think at that point on Saturday when he goes out with two concussions in back-to-back weeks, I think it's out of Pruitt's hands.
I do too.
I think it's with the team doctors. And like Josh said with Jerry Jeudy and Alabama, is it different for them? It may be.
Sure.
I mean, there's no denying that they have a completely different level of commitment when it comes to the sport of football. at Alabama, and whether or not you wish Tennessee had that or not, right now we don't. And I mean, I think Pruitt is definitely more on Josh's side than he would be ours or yours.
Yeah,
I think Pruitt definitely leans more toward that. But I think at that point on Saturday it was out of his hands. But I do want to go back to that JG play because I do, and like I said, I think he's done. I don't think you'll ever see him play another snap.
No.
Which puts you in a very tough spot.
It does.
Because, like I said, you've got a very winnable game this week against South Carolina, a game that you kind of have to win if you want any chance to make a bowl game. You have to win. And Maurer gives you the best chance, like we've just talked about, back-to-back concussions in back-to-back weeks. And now you have this situation with JG, and I think he's played his last snap, and that where do you go? I don't think you can put him back out there after the way Pruitt just tore into him on Saturday night. And I know he went back and kind of covered up for him in the postgame press conference, but I think he's done. And if Maurer can't go and you got to roll with Shrout, and believe me, Shrout is not good.
That's a world of hurt.
JG gives you a much better chance than JT Shrout. That's my opinion. But I don't think you can put him back out there. I think he's lost. I think the team has probably turned their back on him.
On Garantano?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you think about it too, and I will say real quick, we will talk about Pruitt because we really haven't mentioned Pruitt this whole first hour, and I think that he himself is one of the biggest storylines of this whole game to me. And so that's where we'll start out the next hour. But I'm totally with you. I don't think that JT Shrout is a good quarterback, at least from what we've seen. And there's going to be a lot of people clamoring for him, and I get that. You know, but hey, regardless, you're in a extremely rough position for this Saturday. You're either starting, and granted, we'll assume that Maurer cannot go. We don't know yet, obviously. But let's assume that you're either going to have to pick between Garantano and Shrout. Do you go with the guy who has just fell flat on his face this season? And it's been awful. It's been hard to watch. You know, it's been rough. But do you go with that guy, and you know, who I can't even imagine what the offensive line thinks right now. You know, these guys are busting their asses, you know, playing Alabama. And so do you go with this guy who maybe some of the team have started to develop negative thoughts towards, or do you go with just the complete and utter rookie who you put out there a couple times so far, who has never looked good? He looked very lost when he did come in for the end of the game on Saturday. What do you go with? It's hard to decide.
You've got to hope that Maurer clears concussion protocol and is able to play.
Let's do this.
And hope that he does not get knocked out.
Let's take a quick break. And I want to put this poll up three times throughout this week. I want to put it up today, Wednesday, and Friday about which one of the quarterbacks you would rather start between Garantano and Shrout.
And Shrout.
I want to see if that'll change throughout the week.
All right. Jason, also hold right there. We'll take your call on the other side. You listen to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
Back on The Blitz, let's jump over to the Next Door Home Group hotline to close out the hour and get a call from Jason. Good morning, sir. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Man, just...
So, I disagree with you about Shrout. We don't have enough, you know, tape on him to say he's not a good quarterback. I mean, yeah, we put him in last week, but that was a bad situation to put him in. You know, if you give him all week first team reps, you don't know what you got until you play him. If you give him all week to get first team reps, then you go out there and you can't put JG back in the game. I mean, when Pruitt yanked on his tugged on his face mask, he should have ripped it off, threw it in the trash, said he'll never play another down. But I don't think Shrout. We don't have enough tape on him to just say he's not good. I disagree with that. with what you said. So I would play him. Hopefully Maurer can play. I mean, but I don't think we play Shroud again. That's just me. Or JG, I mean. But the game, all right, so all of us talked about the penalties. We talked about the bonehead play at the end with JG.
Yeah.
You know, Darrell Taylor. How about the one where JG overthrows Jennings for a touchdown?
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't hit a broadside of a barn. Bonehead. He was wide open. That's a touchdown.
I completely forgot about
that one. Yeah, and that was, I mean, that was one of those plays that's just inexcusable.
Yeah. And
he beat that corner. I mean, he had four steps ahead of him. I mean, that was an easy touchdown.
Yes, it was.
Touchdown.
And the thing was, like, there was so little margin of error, and he still found it.
Yeah, it was there.
Like,
and
there was
just
so little.
Yes.
I played an intramural quarterback for 4 years, and we never even won a championship. And I think I could have gotten at least close, maybe hit it three out of four times.
My son could have thrown that football and gotten it to Jennings. I mean, it was bad. You know, I've gotten immune over the last 10 years with losses. But I went to bed mad Saturday night, and I woke up mad.
Hey, I did
usually
too.
It rolls off. I'm just like, whatever, we lost again. But that game, I felt like we had a chance. I'm not saying we would have won, but we had a chance to make it interesting at the end. And I honestly think if Maurer could have played, we might have won.
I don't think you're the only one with that opinion either.
I think so too, Jason, because I think that Maurer hits Jennings on that pass that you're talking about. I think they punch it in on that play where Garantano fumbles, and you're talking about a completely different ball game.
Yeah, I mean, totally different ball game. I mean, the kid has it. He has the it factor. He has the moxie. I mean, heck, I mean, Ohio State wanted him. I mean, the kid's good. I mean, he just, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying he's soft, but he needs to toughen up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they are concussions. Maybe that's just what they're saying. Who knows what it is?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a pinched nerve in the neck. But, you know, the team's getting better each week. Pruitt, I think he's starting to get his footing as a head coach. I loved what he did before the half where he was calling timeouts, pissing off everyone in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, it was great. And
I mean,
you know what? It worked.
The gumps
were
mad.
He iced that kicker three times, and it worked.
It worked. I mean, I don't. He probably would have still missed it, but still, just to piss off the stadium alone was priceless. You know? I don't know what you do at this point, but you can't roll JG back out there. You just can't. But I have faith in Pruitt still. I'm bought in. I mean, I think he's getting, you know, the team's bought in. They're not. They keep fighting for him.
Yeah, I am as well.
But I don't know. You can't roll JG back out there. I mean, the guy's horrible. I mean, he's probably a great kid off the field, you know, but on the field he's just, you know, god awful. So
yeah, I would.
Anyways, guys. Hey, real quick, I do have one question.
Sure.
I want to know if you guys know.
Sure.
Why is the SEC in Birmingham? Does anybody know that question? Because I want to know why they're in Birmingham. I saw somewhere where one of the officials in that game was, he coaches in Alabama, and he's an Alabama fan. Have y'all heard about that?
No, but I wouldn't be surprised.
It sounds like the situation.
One ref was an LSU fan. Remember,
yes,
he can't officiate LSU.
That's what I was
LSU
about to
anymore.
Say in basketball.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, to me, I never understood why they're in Birmingham.
No.
It makes, you know.
I don't know why.
Does anybody know that answer? Maybe one of the other callers can chime in and see if they know. But that's a question I've always wanted to know. Because some dirty stuff is going on down there. And, you know, I think the media and everyone has this narrative where they want LSU and Alabama to play. You know, it's the big storyline, the ratings, the TV ratings, you know.
Yeah.
Every time we got in the red zone, they threw a flag. Every time we caught momentum, they threw a flag against Darrell Taylor. That was 2-3 and outs. We had all the momentum, and he calls that bullcrap penalty. So, no doubt in my mind, that game was rigged.
Yeah, Jason, appreciate the call. We're up against it, buddy. Give us a call back sometime.
Yeah, please.
I want to I'm with Jason on the about Pruitt. I know I said I was out after Georgia State. I'm going to die.
Hey,
I want to get into that.
Then let's start there next hour.
Hour two. Stay tuned. You listen to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.